listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Indeed you are, and I might be a little tired, Michael Sterling, today, but...
You're Michael Sterling?
I think
you
I am.
You say that every week, but can you prove it?
I don't know.
Can you prove it? Are you a little tired?
I think so, a little bit, yeah. I
can't imagine why.
A big weekend.
You only, like, built an addition on your house, and you just, you know, all that volunteer work. Oh, that's right. You opened a club last
that's
night.
Right.
That's right.
Sure did.
Now I remember.
Indeed I did. But you look lovely, and I'm speaking of
lovely.
Paul
Thank
Strolley.
You. You need to get out more there, Michael. Can I look lovely? Good gift for you would be contacts. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
We are joined by three talented ladies today. Two have joined us in studio and one by phone. In a few moments, we will speak to a young woman who booked her first Broadway show just 3 years ago in the acclaimed revival of Ragtime. Ooh. And is currently back on Broadway with the classic Porgy and Bess. Joining us in a few moments, Brianna Parham is with us. Can we show her? We haven't called her yet, but we'll still give her her due applause.
Absolutely. So excited.
Yeah.
And we are also joined in studio today by a singer-songwriter whose songs have been recorded by Michael Feinstein, Olivia Newton-John, Cleo Lane, Margaret Whiting, so close to my heart.
Mine too.
Rita Coolidge, Donny Osmond, and Sheena Easton.
If only she could get some famous people.
Yes. Somebody that we knew.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's just scratching the surface, really, of her many accomplishments. Please welcome Michelle Brouwerman.
And last but most certainly not least, also in studio, since graduating from Cal State Fullerton with a BA in theater, she has sung at Hong Kong Disneyland, played Clara in The Light in the Piazza at the El Portal Theater, and has secured the role as the iconic real-life Barbie for Mattel Toys. Stephanie Wall is here.
Welcome, Stephanie. Welcome, Michelle.
Well, thank you both.
Thank you for having us. It's good to be
it's
here.
A pleasure.
Thanks for coming in. We're very
we
excited.
Love to talk. I love Casting. I love
I'm sorry. Are we interrupting?
Well.
So you two chat.
It's one of the best musical theater departments. It's like a really well-kept secret.
Oh, Cal State Fullerton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Mandy McBroom and I have taught master classes there. I did a production of my musical there. Mm-hmm. They're
really?
Wonderful. Yes.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Which is why I'm so wonderful.
Well, they do have a great teaching staff, and they attract
just read
really
the cards,
talent.
Michelle.
Sorry, what
Michelle, just read the cards Stephanie is holding up.
Cards.
Just keep reading her cards.
Stephanie is the best musical theater actress in
you
Los Angeles. Go.
Did you tell me to bring my glasses? No.
Right. Didn't know there'd be a quiz. So how are you?
I'm good.
Things are good?
Yeah, they're wonderful.
You're tired?
I'm kind of reeling in the glory that was last night.
Yes. Yeah, for those of you, for the listeners that don't know what Michael's talking about, last night was opening night at the Sterling's upstairs at the Federal.
That would be it.
Beautiful Federal bar and restaurant. My first time there.
It was?
And I
first time?
Yeah. And you know me, I hate bars.
Well,
I won't go to a bar or a restaurant.
Is that a lie?
So, and I felt exactly the same way last night after the second martini.
Oh, yes.
Brilliant.
It was good. But it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you,
Paul. Really enjoyed it. It's a beautiful room. And I think a couple of our guests are especially interested in attending last night because we're going to be able to see them there in the near future.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Well, it's kind of, you know, circa 1930s meets 2012 in the
interior
design.
Well, think of it as a bank with alcohol.
Yes. Well, you know what the truth is.
Which
was the bank, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. The Federal back in 1926. The stage, the proscenium stage, and what is behind it was the vault.
Ooh. Really?
Yes.
Really?
Oh,
bank.
Funny.
So you're actually, the stage is where the money was kept.
Yes, exactly.
So you can literally say, at the Federal... All the money's on that stage.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But wait, no.
Yes,
no,
and we can hit our money.
We got it wrong.
Right?
We got it wrong. We got it right here.
Yeah, thank you. And we're going to be hitting our money
now. We're
prepared here. And then all the goods are kept in the vault, which are the dressing rooms backstage.
That's right.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah, no, it was fun. And Lainey Kazan was amazing, as was all of our cast, Juliana Hanson and and Mr. McNeely.
And Melanie Hollis, that little
Hollis,
girl.
Amazing,
she was incredible.
Yes, and 13. My friend, Julie Garnier.
Julie Garnier took my breath away.
She's good,
I love her.
She?
Yes, she is. And Jeffrey Christopher Todd, and as I said, Kevin McNeely. And it was such a lovely evening.
And, you know, as much as I have to say, as much as I loved the Sterling's upstairs at Vitello's, it's nice to, you know, I think you needed to expand. I think you needed to get to a larger place. And I think that it just more people will be able to enjoy it. And that's what it's all about.
Well, thank you.
You know,
some, you know, like anything.
I haven't received my booking yet. I've been looking in the mail and in my email, but I haven't got a confirmation from you for my one man Bacchae.
Yeah.
That I want to do, the one-man version of the Bacchae.
It's going to be brilliant.
It is.
You know,
it is.
We were talking earlier, not to skirt that subject, of course, but we were talking earlier about a play that you're in right now, Paul.
Yes.
Ibsen's Ghost.
And it's very difficult to let people know that it's not a stage version of the movie with Patrick Swayze and Whoopi Goldberg.
Which has also been in place for a while, the musical version of that. So you're not doing that then.
No, we're
and
not.
There's also something, somebody called me today who just saw Ghost on Broadway in New York. They said it was amazing, from the movie version. And there is a new staged reading that is being done this week of actors who have this terrible dream that they wake up and they're in a musical version of Ibsen's Ghost.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
Yeah, that's the premise.
Where did you see this?
It's a stage reading that's taking place this week in Los Angeles.
Here in town?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to go see it.
Yeah.
Is it like open for people to attend?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll send you a little note on that.
Please do.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
If that's all right with you. I mean,
that's
you seem a little apprehensive, like I'm going to embarrass myself or something.
He's all, I'll tell you about it later, wink,
yes.
wink.
You want to go? Okay. All right, I'm going to start doing this computer architecture and start dialing out here.
Yes.
And while I do that, why don't you give our guest the intro she is due, and hopefully she'll be there to pick up.
I will do that.
You like how high-tech we are here? It's just life on the edge on internet radio, you
It's
know?
Fancy, yeah. I wanted to do like a Bert Healy moment. I feel like we should be singing Smile now.
Go ahead, sing Smile, underscore it while Micah gives the intro. 5, 6, 7, 8, go.
Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, originated the role of Serena in the American Theater's revised take on the classic opera Porgy and Bess, and has followed the production all the way to Broadway. We are delighted that she is taking some time from her Monday off in New York to chat with us via telephone, and we are just about ready to...
Yeah, we're dialing out right now.
There it is. We are dialing the number that belongs to Brianna
Parra. It's like a game show. Can I say you win? Can I say she's won $1 million?
Hello.
Hello. This is State of the Arts in Los Angeles looking for Brianna Parham. Brianna, have we reached you?
This is she. You found me.
Oh, we found you. First of all, thank you so much for joining us on your day off. We know you have to be, you know, pretty tired having just the Mondays off, but thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, of course.
You're on the air now, so feel free to don't say anything disparaging about us. What's going out live on the air?
Well, my agent already told me not to cuss on live.
Oh,
today,
good.
So I won't be.
Well, actually,
I'll be very careful.
To be honest with you, in all honesty, you can. It's internet radio. We just discourage it because, you know, we might have kids listening. You know how it is.
Okay.
So watch your friggin' mouth.
I'm not going to, just to be safe.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. My name is Paul Strolley. We haven't met, and my lovely co-host is Mr. Michael Sterling, who will introduce himself right now.
Hello, Brianna. How are you?
Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm thrilled that we have you here this afternoon, and we really thank you so much for taking off some precious time from a Monday. We know what that's like. But
Of course. No problem.
All right.
Brianna, I want to ask you something, if I could jump right into it, because I know your time is limited, but I'm looking at the notes on this production of Porgy and Bess, and one of the things they say in here is that it's a sort of a revised version. What have they done? Has it been contemporized in some way? What have you done with the production?
Yes. Well, I can tell you the big things that we've done. You know, Porgy and Bess is originally an opera, and it is over 4 hours long normally.
Okay.
Of course, to update it, to contemporize it, we've cut a good 2 hours off the show. The running time of the show is 2.5 right now.
Wow.
So, you know, just because people, the music is glorious, of course. Gershwin is a genius. But at the same time, people just don't have the time to sit in a theater for this long on Broadway. Now, if they go to an opera house, sure, that's what they're expecting. But
they're just not used
to it. In New York City.
Yeah, they're just not used to it. You know, it's just, it's a,
long,
it's a lot to ask
so
about.
So we have to get rid of some of the time. Also, we've, you know, the opera has a lot of recitatives in it, which is basically this sung dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
We've cut a lot of that and made it spoken, which helps it move a lot quicker.
Mm.
And it's also a lot of repetition that we've cut down. So when we hit things in this show, I mean, it flies. The first act flies by in about 40 minutes. And the second act is a little longer, but, you know, the action takes place very quickly.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's astounding. Michael, you said you heard some very favorable things
about
the show.
I did, of course. Yes, Brianna, I have a good friend who's in New York right now, and he slipped in to see the show the other night, and he was totally blown away. And this is coming from someone who's quite young, actually. So I was thrilled, always thrilled when the young ones, you know, are taking to the music of Gershwin and embracing it like that.
That's amazing. That's wonderful to hear.
And you opened officially, what, January 12th, I believe, of this year. Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
At the the Richard Rogers Theater.
We're at the Richard Rogers on 46th. I'm actually here right now on my day off. I don't even know.
What are you doing
why? Well, you know, last night we had a press event. We all went to another opening together, and I left my dressing room in a disarray. So I came in today to just clean it up a bit, and I'm actually going to see Leap of Faith tonight for their invited dress rehearsal. So it's like I can't even get away from Midtown New York City.
So you're tidy and supportive of other people's theater then, right?
Absolutely. You have to be.
We saw, of course, Leap of Faith opened here in Los Angeles at the Amundsen Theater with Raul Esparza and Brooke Shields at that time.
Who's playing the Brooke Shields role in the New York production?
I'm not sure. All I know is that she got replaced. That's all I know.
Yeah.
So I'm very anxious. I don't know anything about the production, really. I have a few friends in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to support, you know, because we have to support each other in this Broadway environment. But not only on Broadway, just in theater in general.
Mm-hmm. Well, that really says something about you, that the fact that on your night off that you would do that really shows how much you support it. And you should be applauded for that. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So now I have to ask you also before we don't have much more time, but how much fun is it working with David Alan Grier?
There are really no words to describe Mr. David Alan Grier. He is the funniest person. And I knew he was funny. Of course, I've watched his movies. I've watched him on television for years. So, of course, you know, I was very starstruck when I met him. But he is one of the most gracious people that I've ever met. He's hilarious. He's always joking. He is always testing people, pushing things to the limit with humor. Never stops, always on. But at the same time, he is very grateful to be back on Broadway. And I think, you know, this is a bit of a challenge for him because I don't think he's ever sung this much. And when people come see the show, they're always delighted because he is great in the show, not only as an actor, but his singing chops are pretty noteworthy. So,
and he's also got big shoes to fill because, I mean, he's Sporting Life, right?
Yeah, well, he's Sporting Life. And so he's walking in the shoes of you know, Cab Calloway.
Yeah.
Wasn't Sammy Davis Jr. also? Yeah,
wow.
In the film.
Yes. In the film, yes.
Unbelievable.
So he's got big shoes to fill, but he's just, I am so proud of him. And I know we did the workshop, and then we worked in Boston at ART, and then we came here. And since, we've all been able to develop our characters very nicely. He has grown so much. I mean, he's just scary as Sporting Life. And you would think he might just be very jokey because he's David Alan Grier, but he plays it with very sinister, and it's actually, he's very good in the show.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Let us not forget to mention the amazing and gorgeous Audra McDonald, who must be joy to be working with every night, huh?
You know, it's I spent my whole life listening to her and emulating her. It was so funny when I got this job and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to be working opposite her. And I thought to myself, well, you better develop your own sound because you can't sound like her when you're on stage with her. But it's amazing. I mean, it's a dream come true. She is one of the most talented, beautiful, nicest, gracious, humble people ever.
Her.
And I, you know, people ask, what's going on with the show? Do you have any gossip, any dirt? I don't, because this is, we're such a family, and
that's
we've been
right.
working on this for so long already that everybody knows each other very well, and it's just a cast that's surrounded by a lot of love. We love the story we get to tell. It's very emotional, but you know, we're on the journey together every night. So
that's wonderful.
Can't
that's
say
so
it.
Nice.
And we're headed up by amazing people.
And you get to sing the best song in the score, don't you? You sing Summertime. That has to be a
thrill. I don't sing Summertime. Nikki Renee Daniel sings Summertime, and she is very accomplished. This is, I think, her eighth or ninth Broadway show. So, you know, she's incredible. She starts out the show with it, and then Audra sings a reprise of it. But it's gorgeous. The show is just like good classic singing that you haven't heard on Broadway for a long time.
Oh yeah.
So,
oh yeah. And before we forget, that's let's let people know for tickets for Porgy and Bess, it's at Ticketmaster.com and it's at the Richard Rogers Theater. That's 226 West 46th Street. In NYC. Brianna,
NYC.
We have to go, and we know that you do too, and we're so grateful you spent some time on Monday with us.
Oh, thank you so much for asking me to, and have a blessed day. Be wonderful.
You too.
Bless you, girl.
Thank you.
Thank you
Bye.
So much.
Well, she couldn't have been sweeter.
Very,
what?
Very
that
nice.
That makes me so happy when you hear that people that you've looked up to your whole life are actually wonderful in life.
Yes.
It
yes.
really makes
yeah.
me happy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's really nice to hear.
It's always nice to have that respect for someone, then have it be the case when you actually meet them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
I met Michael Jordan. It was exactly the same. I got to do no. I got
my
to do,
heart left. I thought you were going to say Michael Sterling. But.
No. I did a bunch of commercials with Michael. I was living in Chicago at the time, and when I was in Chicago, there's no one bigger than Michael Jordan. I mean, the Bulls
right.
were just, and I got to do 4 commercials with him, and he was just the greatest guy ever. I was
you
nice.
Did 4 commercials with him?
I did.
Holy
for
moly,
for Chevy Blazer. Yeah.
He was the cool guy.
He was the cool guy who did Chevy, who owned a Chevy Blazer, and I was the nerd who bought a Ford Explorer, and we kept running into one another.
Oh.
That was
brilliant.
They were funny spots.
That's fun.
Let's continue with our in-studios, shall we?
Yes.
A winner of the Johnny Mercer Songwriting Award and a collaborator on 16 animated features for Universal Studios. Astounding.
Mm-hmm.
Our next guest work has been recorded not only by the stars that Michael mentioned earlier, but also some of the brightest stars in the world of cabaret, including Amanda McBroom, Heather McRae, Karen Mason, Sharon McKnight, and Billy Stritch. Her best-known song, My Favorite Year, has
Love
become
that.
A standard in the world of cabaret. And she's even played piano for Bob Dylan. So right there, you had
I
me
know.
On that one. Please welcome Michelle Brouwerman. How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
You having fun so far?
I'm having a great time, although
Good.
I think I put my foot in my mouth. I thought Serena sang Summertime, and now I feel like...
I didn't know. I had no
he
idea.
He puts his foot in his mouth all the time.
So which is no small feat.
And I can actually.
Which is no small feat?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm sorry, Michael. This is always the first question I ask. I want to jump right into this, Michael.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut you off. But I know that you have a gig coming up at, before we get into your history and everything.
Yes.
You have a gig coming up at, it's going to be hard for me to not say Sterling's Upstairs or Vitello's.
I know, because it just rolls off your tongue.
Yeah, you know.
Uh-huh.
But the assembly of that, with someone who's written the amount of songs, the number of songs that you have, how difficult is it to filter it down and decide what you're going to do?
It's such a good question. I'm still deciding.
You're still deciding.
Okay, so, yeah, because, you know, they say everything in show business is 10 minutes too long.
Mm-hmm.
So we really want to make sure that it's, you know, an hour 10
mm-hmm.
and not more.
Right.
And so it's, you know, I'm having to choose amongst my children.
Yeah.
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 But that's, I mean, that's a kind of a wonderful thing. And I'm just saying... It's been years since I've really performed here in Los Angeles, so I'm telling myself I won't wait that long, and I'm telling all the babies that go back in the file drawer that I'll bring them out the next time.
Do you ever look for songs that were sort of taken from you? It's one of those things I heard Otis Redding say once. He said that, you know, because he wrote Respect, but it was Aretha Franklin who really you know, burned it down and got more associated with that song. Mm. So he always said, he made a joke about songs being taken from him that other people have done. Do you ever find that there are songs that other people have made almost signature songs for them that you want to sort of take back, or do you not view that as sort of taking? Do you view it as more as sharing? I was, because I'm so egocentric that if I wrote a song and anyone else sang it, I would just be like, hey.
When I was in my 20s, I would have felt that way.
Okay, okay.
But I'm past 25 now.
That's the thing.
No, I mean, there are songs, like, I do a lot of collaborating with Amanda McBroom, and Amanda is, like, a great quintessential singer. And so, you know, if we've written something together and she's performed it, it's hard because I'll think, oh, that's hers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we wrote it together.
Okay.
So, you know, so I'm going to perform some of the songs I've written with Amanda and people who have heard
And I love your voice, quite frankly.
Thank you.
Because I listened this morning to two of the tracks.
Oh, thank you so much.
Which one should we play? I have a couple here, Michael. Which should we start with?
Love and Takeout, right?
Okay.
I think to get us started.
Say a couple of things about it quickly, which is I wrote this song in a burst of inspiration and then spent the next 3 days with... I'll tell you this after. With menus.
Ooh, okay.
Go ahead.
All right.
It's about food.
That's just a little tease.
It's
a little tease. So we're listening to Michelle Bowram, and this is Love and Takeout?
Yes.
Okay. Let's give it a listen.
He's a red roll, baby, a chicken tell me.
Was awesome.
Thank you. What I started to say, and I realized don't give it away, is I spent 3 days with Chinese restaurant takeout menus, you know, looking for, and I remember, like, at one point going, well, what is that fruit? What is that fruit? And I went, kumquat. Yes! Yes! And loquat. They're all in there.
Really?
My favorite line at the very end is, come over here and sit down. I'm tired of waiting for that other moo shoe to drop.
I love it.
I even got in, was that the Hunan thing to do?
Oh, nice.
I was very proud of myself.
Now I'm
going
to have to listen to
it
very
We'll have the rest of it play us off the air so we can people will know to be listening for that.
Cool. Listen for the mooshu.
Well, you know, Paul, and you and I talked about this earlier today, and we do need to clear this up, actually, because it's a conversation Paul and I were debating. I asked you last night at the opening when we were talking about My Favorite Year, the song that you wrote. And I just assumed that it was from the film, and you said, no, it never got in the film.
It never made it to the film. But
was it written with the intention of movie?
Oh, okay. Yes, here's what happened. A guy I knew from high school in Pittsburgh, in case you can't tell from the remnants of my accent, called me one day and said, hi, you know, there's this movie they're doing with Peter O'Toole called My Favorite Year. They're looking for a theme song. Would you like to try, you know, to write one to submit? And I said, absolutely. Tell me what you need. And he said, well, you know, they want the title in it. They want something very romantic. And I said, great. I'll do that. When do they need it? He said, tomorrow. Oh, come on, you're kidding. He said, no, they really need it. All right, they need, you know, they have to have it by the day after tomorrow. So I called my writing partner at the time, Karen Gottlieb, and I said, "You want to do this?" And she said, "Sure, I have 45 minutes this afternoon." Oh. I said, "All right, let's get together."
No pressure.
No pressure. And you know, I said, "It's called My Favorite Year, and we have to use the title of the movie in the song."
Yeah.
She said, "Okay." So she comes over, and we're sitting in my dining room in my house in Silver Lake, and we each have like little shreds of paper, because all through the day we've been jotting lines
ideas
down.
Ideas, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, she has a little tiny piece of paper that says, "You were right and I was blind." And I have one that says, you know, "Are your memories like mine or have they let you go?" And so we eventually we assemble, like, I must have had like 8 or 10 shreds of paper, and I put them up on the music rack of my piano, and I said, "Okay, we've got to do something." And I'm looking, there's no first line, and I'm vamping on a D chord. There's no first line. So I go, "You reappearing in my mind, you were right and I was blind." I need something. But that was long ago. I mean, that's how we wrote that song. We wrote it in 45 minutes.
Wow.
I demoed it the next day. My beautiful singer, Tim Stone, came over. We demoed it. The next day, I walked it into MGM and handed it to Harry Loyevsky, who was a longtime music supervisor there, who looked at me with he didn't know who I was, you know, and I'm handing him a cassette that was long ago, and we used cassettes, and he puts the cassette into his machine, and you could just tell that he was, like, you know, giving me the time of day grudgingly. And the song starts playing, and he turned, and he got really quiet, and he just sat down, and he listened to it, and he said, "I'll make sure that they get this." So I went out of there just feeling like, all right, we did it, we did it, you know. And sometimes when you write fast, you don't have time to overthink it.
Right.
Yeah. You just have to let your heart pour out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all my former boyfriends thought they inspired it.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
And I told them all that they did.
Well, we have to listen to a little of it now.
Okay.
I don't
want
to cut you off.
You know, first may I just say, it's really, truly one of the most spectacular pieces of music my life.
Thank you.
That I have listened to and had the pleasure of hearing people like Michael Feinstein recorded and many others.
Thank you so
much.
What an amazing thing.
It's one of those things that probably the longevity that it has is probably grander and broader because it wasn't film soundtrack.
Right.
I mean, I think that life has transcended just being in a movie. You know,
yeah.
I mean, because, I mean, it's not in a musical. I mean, My Favorite Year is not a musical film. It's not. I mean, it has music in it. It's one of my favorite movies. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I mean, I talked about it with Lainey Kazan last week, or 2 weeks ago when we had her on. We were just doing lines from My Favorite Year back and forth. But rather than talk about it, let's listen to it. So this is Michelle Brauer and My Favorite Year.
Blind.
so sorry we can't play the whole thing.
Well, you
I
know
am
what?
Too. Oh,
people just have to go out and buy it.
Yeah,
you have to come to the show.
Come to the show, yes.
What a great segue that was. Let me tell them how they can do that. I pulled this out of the race. This is Sunday, April 22nd. This is at the Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, the newly christened as of last night. This is 5303 Lancashire Boulevard in NoHo, North Hollywood, California. And as is usually the case, there's a seating is 5:30 to 6 with a 7 o'clock showtime.
That's correct.
And that really is astoundingly wonderful.
Isn't it? It's just chilling.
Really
it just makes the hair stand up.
I had heard it before, you know, a couple of times,
yeah.
But whenever we prepare for these shows, always go and try to find what we can find, and it's just it's really chilling. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Chilling in a good way.
Yeah.
Chilling in a good way.
What's your name?
Because everyone puts their own memories in there.
Oh,
everyone just fills in the blanks, you know.
That's absolutely exactly right.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I just did. I'm a little verklempt.
She's a little bit
I was a little bit like, oh my God, I totally know what she's talking about.
Don't make the other guests cry. How many times have we told you?
I'm so sorry. Well, it's either that or curse, and we're not allowed to. Yeah.
But she made her fucking cry, Michael.
Oh my gosh. What the hell?
We're
going on
here? Crying. It's a great show today. Woo!
Holy moly.
No,
good Lord.
I'm sorry.
And it's Easter week.
I couldn't resist it. I apologize.
There are
some
songs that you want to sing and that you can't because you know you could not get through them.
Yes.
And I have a feeling that would be one of those songs. Like, I'd love to actually sing that because it would be very true and very real, but I don't think it would sound very good. And I may just cry through the whole thing.
No, when something's really true that way, that's the best.
It's the best. You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Because you get on top. You get control.
You know how that is, though, when you start to cry in the middle of a song and you're like, and we're gone. Okay.
Yeah.
I call that tears of truth.
Yeah, it's true. It's
you know, and it's a good thing. Whenever I feel that, I know that I'm really speaking the truth.
Like
I'm singing or talking.
And it doesn't matter what it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Well, initially I wanted at the end of the show, wanted to play Love and Takeout off the air, but now I want to play the rest of my favorite year off the air. Or maybe we'll mix and match. We'll do a veritable potpourri. What do you think? A musical potpourri. We should. I have a little. We don't have an arts calendar per se this
right,
week.
But you've got a review.
I have a little review. I have a little review,
right.
Sort of a verbal review.
Mm-hmm.
There's a production going on at Theater Banshee, and I love what they do over there at Theater Banshee.
We spotlighted them last week.
Yes, we did. And they have a. They primarily do Irish themed. Productions, as the name would indicate, Theater Banshee. But they're doing a production of William Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice, and they always do great work. So with Theater Banshee, it's always just a matter of how great the work is, because they're wonderful people, and they just really they go to the wall with their productions. And it's a very, very strong production. I want to give special mentions to a number of actors who are in it, and forgive me on the pronunciation if those actors end up hearing this. Daniel Kamen, I believe his last name is. He is Bassanio, and he does a wonderfully understated job with that role, which is, if there is a male lead aside from Shylock in this production, it's Bassanio. Barry Lynch as Shylock is wonderful, and Time Winters as Antonio also deserves special mention. It's a tough piece to do now.
Mm.
The anti-Semitism Merchant of Venice is the question always remains, is it anti-Semitism for no purpose, or is it anti-Semitism for a purpose? Because if you look at what they end up doing to Shylock, it is far worse than what Shylock was trying to do in extracting his pound of flesh. So it's kind of interesting that here he's demonized in it, but yet the Christians turn around and are horrific.
And for those people in our audience that have not seen this, what do they do?
Well, they basically make him deny everything about himself and give up his faith and take everything that he has.
Wow.
And it's very, very... It is easily Shakespeare's most controversial play in terms of subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Uniformly talented ensemble. Great opportunity to see Shakespeare in L.A., which you don't normally get to do. It's not, you don't see it very frequently. If there's one little bugaboo about this one, it's that it is so, the pace is wonderful, and they've really kept it moving, very frenetic pace. If you told me I was going to go see Merchant of Venice and it was going to fly by, I never would have believed it, but it does do that. But sometimes at the cost of the language. The initial scene primarily provides a great deal of the exposition about Antonio's character, and it's played almost as though the actors are in a competition to see who can get their lines out fastest. Mm-hmm. So I think that's that is splitting hairs, because it's just
line,
one. Yeah, because you want to keep it active and frenetic and forward moving, but I think they got to trust themselves more, mm-hmm. because they're doing it so well. Give yourself a little more time with the words, especially initially, because, you know, if you don't know the story,
that's right.
Once again, Theater Banshee, theaterbanshee.org, and they are in a beautiful space at 3435 West Magnolia Boulevard in Burbank. For tickets, 818-846-5323.
Nice. So well, nice to have you out and about doing some theater.
Well, reviews. You know, it was a theater weekend.
And I know you're busy with your own show, and we've both been super busy the past several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just need to move right into our next guest here. Right?
Let's do that. Why don't you do the honors, if you would?
My pleasure. Mind. Ladies and gentlemen, she is a doll. Literally. Chosen by Mattel Toys to be the real-life version of their iconic Barbie. Some of her favorite roles, however, in the musical theater include Cindy Lou in The Marvelous Wonderettes, Louisa in The Fantastics, Sandy in Grease, and Violet Hilton in Sideshow.
Uh-huh.
Here to talk about Beyond the Blonde, her upcoming cabaret show at, well, Sterling's upstairs at the Federal.
The best venue in Los Angeles.
Please welcome Stephanie Wall.
Well, we had to counteract the Barbie. We've been talking Barbie
too much.
Yes, we had to just give it some teeth. So.
Yes, which is definitely part of the show. It's counteracting the Barbie, I believe. Hence the title, Beyond the Blonde. We're going past all of that. And,
and we're
talking about, you know, what it really means to do all these crazy jobs and be blonde in today's theater world and everything. So it's going to be a fun night.
Well, much like we asked Michelle, how did you arrive at your selections for the evening?
Honestly, I pick songs that I actually really, really love, and I kind of like looked for the through line in there, and then the story that I'm telling, which is really a lot of my story, the songs that really fit into that and served the story well. And there are songs that I love to sing that I'm not doing that I wish I could. I was like, okay, how can I work this into my story? And it doesn't work.
That's always the hardest part.
Exactly, where you're like, I would love to do this number, maybe as an encore or something, just as a fun freebie if we're short on time, which I doubt we will be. I know, it's always that way. I've planned an exact hour of material knowing that it's going to be a little bit longer.
Yeah.
It's because there's a whole audience participation section, and
And Michael has that soft shoe that he does.
Michael's getting up, and he's actually going to strip on the piano. And I'm going
to
talk about Gypsy. Exactly. I'm going to talk about when I did Gypsy, and you're going to do it.
Did you get the pole installed? Do you have the pole?
Yes. I only went that far.
Yes, he's doing that. No, there may or may not be a makeover section that I'm doing in the show. My goal is I want to talk about fun things and things that I've grown through, and I want to make people laugh. I love nothing more than laughing and having other people laugh with me, and I love laughing at myself. I'm totally down with that. So we're gonna do a lot of that.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Is it a scripted narrative? I mean, or is it more recollections?
Not verbatim. Not verbatim, but I definitely have my sections, and I definitely know what I'm saying in each section. I know what story that I'm doing, because how it all came to fruition is that I love telling stories, and I have very funny stories to tell. Someone was like, you got to do a show. You have to like do something, like develop a stand-up act or do something where you tell stories and like about your life. And I was like, maybe I will. And I kind of started toying with the idea, and we picked some of the most ridiculous stories, and I'm going to tell them. I know.
So I'd love to hear that, though, because so much of the time you hear, and I don't know if how your show is, Michelle, in terms of what you have as banter or patter or whatever it is in between, but I don't think a lot of people realize how essential that is. It's the through line, you know, I've seen cabaret a lot, actually, because you've reintroduced me to it. So much of the time you see people, the beautiful singers, beautiful, you know, presentations, and then in between, they're just like flailing. They're just floundering, and it's like
It's tough when it feels like a recital.
It
makes the night long for
everyone.
Good word to use.
Some people fall into that trap, unfortunately.
But that was the nice thing about the thing that happened last night. What is his name? Brian.
Bruce Kimmel.
Yeah. His historic references throughout and how the little anecdotes he had, it was great. Kept it moving.
And you know, I know that that you have a wonderful guest star with you, Pat Whiteman.
I do. Pat Whiteman is a gorgeous.
Wonderful singer. And do you have anyone with you?
I do. My friend Amber Thompson's going to come sing with me. She's doing Aida right now. And my friend Carly Bracco, who's on the Peter Pan tour. We love Carly.
Yes,
she went
do.
To UCLA, and she's just my little sister and one of my dearest friends. And so she's going to do, we're doing a really cool trio of various versions of Home. Home from Phantom, Home from Beauty and the Beast, and Home from the Wiz. And it's a mashup, and it's a medley.
Oh, wow.
And it's really cool.
It's going to be a sing-off moment.
And then some guy I know who happens to, you know, have bought me a diamond is going to sing with me as well. So, you know, that'll be fun.
And who would that be?
His name is David Marchesano, and he is singing a very funny piece with me, actually. It's all these standards that you and I discussed me doing. And it's a medley of standards. It's very Lucy and Ricky bantery, involving Is You Is or Is You My Baby, Call Me Irresponsible, and it's this whole medley of these really fantastic standards where we're just kind of biting at each other, and then I kick him off the stage and I belt my face off and, you know, all of that. But it's going to be fun. And we have a good time with it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Look at us. This is a little note I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
Look at a song called Picking Up After You.
It's
from the soundtrack of One from the Heart. And it's Tom Waits and Crystal Gayle. And it's one of the great Picking Up After You. It's one of the great couple back and forth songs.
Right.
Hysterically funny, poignant. Picking Up After You from the One from the Heart soundtrack, Tom Waits and Crystal Gayle. Sorry, little commercial.
No, you got everybody taking
Everyone's
notes.
Got their various stuff out.
Taking notes.
Before we forget, we're going to tuck this in. Stephanie Wall, Beyond the Blonde, Sunday, April 15th. Actually, a week before Michelle's performance there.
Yeah, Sunday after Easter.
5:30, 6 dinner seating, and then performance at 7. This also is at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. Reservations, 818-754-8700. That's 718-754-8700. And of course, once again, Sterling's is at 53, or rather, Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, 5303 Lancashire Boulevard. And just as a quick reminder, Michelle's performance is a week later, Sunday, April 22nd. Before we forget, websites for both of you. Michelle, what is yours?
MichelleBrowerman.com.
And for Browerman is spelled B-R-O-U-R-M-A-N. Michelle has one L. And yours, Stephanie, I went to yours today, but it didn't pop up.
It's just about to pop up. Yeah,
okay.
My good friend is designing it for me, and she's almost finished it.
I was going there trying to harvest information.
Thank you. Yes, go to my Facebook for now, Stephanie Renee Wall. All the information is on there, and then my website will be up within the next couple of days, StephanieReneeWall.com.
Okay, and that is Stephanie P-H.
A-N-I-E, Renee, R-E-N-E-E.
Okay. Not that we're done. I just wanted to make sure we tucked all of that in.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, yeah, it'll be up in a couple of days, but for now, check out the Facebook, Stephanie Renee Wall. All the information on there.
You know, about a year ago,
Richard
Esriel sat in that chair, and we interviewed one of our great directors here in Los Angeles.
Terrific director, so gifted.
And I said, Richard, what's your next project? And he said, Gypsy.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And which is also one of my favorite shows.
And mine now as well.
And I was so happy that it was coming back to Los Angeles in any form, quite frankly, and that if it was, at least West Coast Ensemble, who knows what they're doing with those kinds of shows.
Absolutely.
And little did we know, Paul, at the time, that this beautiful woman would be playing Gypsy.
I got to do Louise. It was really fun. Really a blessing. And just the most fantastic time. Richard is an incredible director, and he is so gentle and hilarious. And
it was a lovely
and so
man.
Much fun to work with. Wow. And I just had the best time getting to do that role, because as a blonde, I obviously go in for June often. And he said, I'd like you to read for Louise. And my heart jumped out of my chest, and I was like, yes, you know. And I leapt at the chance to do it, and I just had the best time. We got extended. We ran for 12 weeks, and it was just a joy. I had a fantastic cast, and I loved learning about her. I loved my mama. I loved every last thing about it. And I'm just so grateful for that experience.
And people don't realize extending live theater in Los Angeles is like running 3 years anywhere else.
Right.
Ready to envy me? I know June Havoc. Thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Someone who knew her.
She lived in Ridgefield, Connecticut, where I'm from. And only met her a couple of times, but a lovely woman. Just right up. And she passed away just a few years ago.
She did,
And just a sweetheart, interested in supporting the arts all the way right up until the end. And wonderful, wonderful woman.
Yeah, that family story is incredible. And actually tonight I'm going to the LA Weekly Awards, mm-hmm. and Gypsy is nominated for Best Musical.
Oh, wow.
It
right.
is, and Best Director for
That's
Richard.
Right.
So fingers crossed.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
see
right.
what happens, yes, but yes. I'm headed there after this. So.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, it's gonna
and
be fun.
What do we think about the movie being made again?
Call me. I'm available. Call me to play Louise. Yeah. I'm available. Whoever is casting the movie.
Miss Barbara Streisand.
Oh, really?
Yeah, is she? Really. She is going to play Mama. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
And direct it and produce it, I think.
Really?
I think she's doing everything.
Wow.
Another one
that's,
of those.
That's incredible. I hope they tell the story.
We are at that time, Michael.
Yes, we are. We have to baptize our
guests.
We have
to ask our guests, but we always like to end the show asking our guests about a funny or unfortunate mishap that happened during performance. Someone, I think Stephanie better start because she could barely contain. You have something you could share
so
with us?
So there are so many, and not to take material away from my show, but a story that I'm not telling in the show is I dance, and I'm not a dancer, but I do dance well, and they say that dancers can't walk up a flight of stairs. They can turn and dance, but they can't walk. So on stage, I was doing Bye Bye Birdie, and I was playing Kim McAfee, and I was just in living. I had my moment of got a lot of living to do, and Conrad comes down, and I'm dancing, and then like I go to cross over to him, and I truly don't know what happened, but my feet came out from underneath me down center and just flat on my bum. So to play it off, I like turned on my side and did this like cool pose, like I meant to do that, and clearly I didn't. And like there were like agents in the audience that I wanted to impress, and like
and
people that I
just
wanted
fell.
To think I was good. Literally, I maintain that I tripped on my shoelace, but I truly don't know what happened. I don't know. I had just done like 8 kicks and a turn, and then I like started to cross over, and then suddenly the floor was connected to my rear, and and I played it off brilliantly according to my recollection. It wasn't. It was tragic. But I tend to fall. I try not to, but it happens sometimes.
Wow.
So I didn't in Gypsy though. Thank God. I was terrified the whole time. I was like, if I slip.
You didn't, and then you mentioned one production in which you didn't. Does it happen that frequently?
You know what? There's usually one. There's usually one for the entire run where it's like, oh, I had my fall. I'm good. And if it happens during Tech Week, I know I'm good. Like, okay, it's not going to happen with an audience. But if it does, sometimes if it doesn't happen during Tech Week, I'm kind of like, oh, God, it's going to happen. I feel it. And so I just pray. I'm like, Lord, please don't let me fall. Please don't let me trip right now. And I thank God it never happened to Gypsy. I have bruises from like bumping into things because it's dark and all the blackouts and whatever and all the quick changes, but never a direct hit to the rear. So thank God for that.
People wonder why show business people are neurotic, right?
I know.
There's new meaning to break a leg, right?
Right.
It did. You guys, I'm serious. I hope to God it doesn't happen. I'm wearing really big shoes for my show. I'm wearing the Barbie shoes, and it's just...
Oh, gosh, okay.
You know, if I fall, just
Pad
laugh
stairs,
with
Michael.
Me and
Walking
know that I'm fine.
We have an elevator.
Yes.
But
that's
the hardest
they're gonna
part
fly
for
you
me,
in.
Too, actually.
Right. I'm just going to be harnessed up the whole day. Yeah. I got to fly, actually, the last show I did, which was really fun. So
did
that
you?
Was a new adventure, yeah. But hopefully I won't fall on the 15th.
Michelle, what do you got?
Yeah.
Oh, I love Cole Porter. And one night I was performing and threw in, all right, this is something I didn't write, but, you know, I love this song. And I started singing You're the Top, and I got 4 lines in and went up. I mean, but really up. There was no, I started again, and it hit the same thing. You're the top, you're the callous. But, no, I'm going to get it wrong now.
Right.
Anyways, I got 4 lines in the second time, and I looked at the audience in the room, and I said, help. Like, help. And they started singing.
Aww, that's a nice story.
And me and the entire audience not only sang through the entire first verse and second verse of You're the Top, we sang all 3. I mean, you know, your Garbo salary, your cellophane,
yeah.
We got all of it. You're the, what is it, your romance, you're the steps of Russia, you're the pants on the Roxy Usher. And I saw all of these faces in the room. Just so happily and joyously. What's a great lesson because you think, oh, what's the worst thing that can happen? I'm going to forget the words.
Uh-huh.
In this case, you know, I was lucky. If I'd been singing one of my songs, they could not have helped me.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was Cole Porter, and so it was a 3-verse sing-along.
That's wonderful.
That's
one
fun.
Of those happy accidents that never would have happened if you got it right.
Yep.
No, it was
beautiful
great.
Moment.
And
oh,
everybody left feeling so... you know, proud of them. And they got me out of a jam. They really did, you know, because I was sitting there going, I don't know.
They're there. You know, they're part of the thing.
I remember Rosemary Clooney, we were touring, and she was singing What Are You Doing the Rest of Your Life?
Oh, yes.
And she sang, what's the lyric?
North and South and East and West.
West of Your Life.
I have only one request.
West of Your Life.
That you spend it all with me.
Keep going.
All the seasons and the times of your
life. Right. It says, I see you, and the refrain, I see you, da 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 da.
Oh. I don't know. When you stand before the candles on your cake.
Yes, she said, I see you standing on the candles of your cake.
On the candles of your cake.
Yeah, I see you standing on
the candles. On the candles of your cake. Bless her.
Yeah, but it happens. I was doing the Chinese food song one night in New York at the Met Room, and my son was in the audience. Mm-hmm. And the song is all double entendres, and I get like three lines in, and I just stopped. I couldn't. I finally said, listen, you know, my son is here, and he's 20, and he's right in front of me, and the song is filthy,
and I just can't.
And then I said, Luke, I'm sorry. And I started again, and I just did it. And it's really hard, though. You know, it's like very, very raunchy. It's hard to be raunchy when your young child is watching you.
Well, you know, speaking of that, and since we're out of time, let's continue with the raunch and play Love and Take Out as
let's
we
do
go
that.
Off the air.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you for having me.
What a joy.
Mentioned.
And so, thank you, Paul.
Yes, thank you.
As always.
You both. Great. And here this is Michelle Brauerman taking us off the air with Love and Take Out.
Noodle will melt in your mouth. 10 minutes later, he's heading south. Don't need to read your fortune cookie to understand. Here's a walkaway boy, a disappearing man.
Listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.